we have a high priest who is a man. We have a man seated at the right hand of the Father. He's going to go into this in detail in verses 5 through 10. But he represents us to God. He's our representative. He can deal gently. He's a sympathetic high priest, not because he's got sin of his own, but because he knows what it's like. He was a man. He was tempted in all things as we are. He was tempted 3 times, but he never caved in. We've got this sympathetic, caring high priest, and he has offered himself once for all.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, Jesus, Our Perfect High Priest. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
In the Old Testament priesthood, by the way, you saw both. You saw gifts and sacrifices. You saw worship and offerings. Verse 4, no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he's called by God, even as Aaron was. Now to us, Aaron might be Hank Aaron. 3 of you remember him. Oh, 7. No. But you know, Aaron doesn't maybe mean, but when you said Aaron, Aaronic, the priesthood, he's writing to Hebrews. And this was written for our instruction. And if you really want to know your high priest, dig back in that Old Testament, okay? And listen, because he must be appointed by God. Let's go back to Exodus. Turn to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. We want to take a quick glance at what we call sometimes the Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses. Remember Jesus, when he rose, he took the things of Moses that were speaking about himself, and he opened them up. And their hearts burned within them. My heart burned this week as I was thinking this through and reading this Moses, so to speak. You know, the 5 books of Moses. Now, Exodus, I'll try to do this briefly, but I want us to take, so if you have your Bible, I'd like you to stay here and look at it with me. When I turn to Exodus 20, I can see Exodus 18 because 19's on the same page and I can glance across. And so I'll have you look at 18:27. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went his way into his own land. Up to now, 18 chapters, Moses led them across the exodus out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and it's been a narrative of things, basically. And his father-in-law shows up out there, and you know, they have, so you've had 18 chapters. I'm just giving us context. Then in chapters 19 and 20, you have the 10 words, the 2 tablets, the law given, the commandments, okay? And, then you have, and just you can glance there so you see that the 10 commandments are there in chapter 20, but I'm just going to walk through this. Chapters 21, 22, and 23 are kind of a case law. He didn't just give 10. He gave a bunch of others. In this case, here's what to do. In this case, in other words, his word and his ordinances. And we have that today. The Supreme Court doesn't debate the ordinances of Beaverton. You know, but there's a pecking order in these things. And so he gets down into the nitty gritty for 3-4 chapters. Okay. Then chapter 24, look at it with me. Verse 1. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. Moses, come up here. Bring Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, but don't let them come. They can worship at a distance, but you come on up. So you get the tone. Verse 9 of 24. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Nadab and Abihu and Aaron, they saw. And the 70 elders. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles, verse 11, of the sons of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. Can you hear the author? Can you believe it? They saw sapphire. Verse 12, now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I've written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders he said, wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. And Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days. And 40 nights. And then he tells what he gave him, some of the ordinances, you know, up there. 25, 26, turn the page with me. Let's get over to chapter 28. Here's what some of what he told him up there. Verse 1, bring near to yourself your brother when you get back, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priest. To me. He set up the priesthood. He said, I want you to bring near Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons, and you shall make holy garments. Look at verse 2. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. And you have a whole chapter. He's not only telling him how to make the tabernacle, the place where we'd meet with God, but he's telling him how to dress the priest. And he says, don't just put on any old business suit. It's a black tie affair. In fact, it's more than that. I want garments for the high priest. And he gives a chapter's worth of discussion on it. Okay? And then chapter 29 comes. And he says, now before you put those things on, I want him clean. But it wasn't a matter of hygiene. He was to be anointed and cleansed before he put on the holy garments. And chapter 29, verse 29, the holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him too, that in them they may be anointed and ordained for 7 days, the one of his sons who's priest in his stead. As you get this passed on, when Aaron passes off the scene, then the next high priest, one of his sons, it'll be a 7-day ritual just to put his clothes on and get him ordained. You get the drift. In other words, sometimes we get so bogged down in detail that we miss some of this. But it's very, very clear. He wants him anointed and cleaned and then ordained. And then chapter 30. When you anoint him, use oil. What do? You just get the peanut butter out? No. Just any old oil? No. No. John Henderson touched on this when he was talking about the fragrance of Christ. Chapter 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord said to Moses, saying, take for yourself the finest of spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500. He gave a recipe for the anointing oil. Okay? And what do they call them? I should have asked my wife. Like proprietary recipes? Is that what it is? When you go to a restaurant, you say, oh man, this clam chowder. Can I get the rest? No. We don't give it out. Colonel Sanders. I'd like to get his, wouldn't you? So good. But they say, no, that's our recipe. I think that's what they, I'll know by second service. Some of you gals will tell me. But this recipe, notice, it was proprietary, if I'm using that term rightly. You shall anoint, verse 30, Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may be, that they may minister as priests to me. Warning, verse 32. It shall not be poured on anyone's body, nor shall you make any like it in the same proportions. Don't be mixing this up. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any of it on a layman, shall be cut off from his people. It's serious, this recipe. And then he gives some details again. Then the Lord said to Moses, take for yourself spices. And he gives the names of the spices. He goes into the details of the recipe, and then he reiterates verse 37, the incense which you shall make, you shall not make it in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. Wow. Now, John mentioned, and I would, as a sidebar, tell you that when you're in the holy place, there's a certain fragrance. And you don't find that just anywhere, okay? And God was teaching Israel with physical things, things we need to learn spiritually. And John touched on it. It was a great, great point. And the fragrance of Christ, the only way to get it is to be with the high priest, to spend time with him. You can't be putting it on yourself. Just, you know, that's the way sometimes we think of the fruit of the Spirit. I'll just add some fruits and love, joy, a little peace. I don't have much self-control, but I'll take gentleness. They're not like that. Christ-likeness is hanging out with him, and the Spirit creates the fruit of the Spirit, and the fragrance of Christ is who we are. And to some, it'll be an aroma of death to death, and some of life to life. So that's where he was coming from when he mentioned this. But how did, what I'm after here is this priesthood. Is it something casual? No. Moses, take Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and take them and put certain garments on them and anoint them. And this priesthood is sacred, okay? You must be appointed by God. Now, how did Aaron do? What was he like as a high priest? What are we in, chapter 30 here? Don't read 32. And Moses was up there on the mountain. Aaron was down here saying, well, just give me all your gold. And actually just threw it in the fire, and out came this golden calf. So he lied to Moses when Moses came down. What is this, Aaron? You've let the people do what? He'd fashioned a false god. So Aaron didn't do too well. Okay, and neither did his sons. How about Nadab and Abihu? Have you heard of their names before? Leviticus 10. Actually, Leviticus tells this story of when they actually did this. This is still up on the mountain getting the instructions. But in Leviticus, that's why we need to read Moses more. In Leviticus, they did anoint Aaron and his sons. They did get the garments on. And the first thing Nadab and Abihu did was say, you know, I think we could do it our way. I like to reinvent things. Our culture, you know, my generation, we like new things. And so we're going to come in with our own kind of fire. And you know how it went. And if you don't, go read Leviticus 10. But God said, I'm going to be treated as holy by those who come near me. And they brought their strange fire that God hadn't asked for, and they were struck dead. God is holy. He's a consuming fire. It's a terrifying thing to fall into his hands. But yet I'm telling you, come. Why? Because we have a high priest who is a man. Now let's look again at Hebrews for just a second, because as I knew would happen, I don't have time to finish. But I want to just say a few things before we leave this. We have a man seated at the right hand of the Father. He's going to go into this in detail in verses 5 through 10. But he represents us to God. He's our representative. He can deal gently. He's a sympathetic high priest, not because he's got sin of his own, but because he knows what it's like. He was a man. He was tempted in all things as we are. He was tempted. three times. But he never caved in. We've got this sympathetic, caring high priest, and he has offered himself once for all. Now this guy, and I shouldn't say it that way, but maybe that'll arrest our attention, that slip of the tongue, because I wouldn't want to refer to my Lord that way. But he's a man. This man was appointed by God, but he's not even of the tribe of Levi, let alone the house of Aaron. The next three chapters of Hebrews, he brings up a term we haven't heard for 1,000 years in the Bible. First, let me just read it. So also, verse 5, Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, Christ didn't make himself a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. He quotes the second psalm, God saying to his son. And just as he says also in another passage, verse 6, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek? I haven't heard of him since Psalm 110, 1,000 years earlier, when David gave this prophecy. This is the psalm that Jesus referred to himself. It's a messianic psalm. Whose son is David anyway? Well, I mean, he said, whose son is the Messiah? And they said, that's easy, David. And he said, well, then why did David, speaking in the Spirit, call him Lord? And the 110th psalm says, the Lord said to my Lord. Because he's speaking about this one who is both man and God. He is the son of David, but he's the son of God. And right in verse 4 of Psalm 110, it's right there, verse 6, you're a priest forever, not according to the order of the Levitical priesthood, not according to the Aaronic order, but the Melchizedek order. Now, concerning these things, look at verse 11 of our text. Concerning him, we have much to say. And he does. He's going to teach about him in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Hebrews. And I find many Christians that just say, oh, Melchizedek, it gets so confusing. That's why I don't like Hebrews very well. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Dig in. This week, read the history of Melchizedek, Genesis 14. Read the prophecy regarding the Melchizedek to come, Psalm 110. And then read Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 repeatedly, because look where it goes. Look at the heart of this. Look at chapter 6 of Hebrews now, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You, Christian, will enjoy your Savior so much more. You'll understand his priesthood so much more if you'll give yourself to what he's teaching here about this Melchizedek. And he's going to explain it. If I had to narrow it down, I'd say the history of Melchizedek is in Genesis 14. The prophecy is Psalm 110. The explanation is Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. And we've got a high priest who doesn't have a genealogy, a human genealogy, so to speak. He's not only man, he does have a human genealogy, but he was without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of days. He's our Lord. Are you hurting? Are you in a time of need? You've got a high priest. The very personal nature of all this gospel is that I can call out to him. I come to him in Jesus' name. I can say, Abba, Father. And I bring my prayers in the name of this. Look back where we started now, chapter 4, verse 14. we've got this high priest, a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who's seated. He's passed through the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God right now, praying for us. And you say, Scott, I thought you said that was your main point last week. It was. And I'll tell you right now, my main point next week is this. And you know what? I think I'm on safe ground. There'll be those who, I get tired of that. Don't be them. Hunger and thirst to know this Jesus. Know him and make him known. Be able to explain this to somebody, because a new babe can know that they've got a representative. And the book of Hebrews never quits saying this. Glance ahead to chapter 8. When he gets done talking about Melchizedek. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who's taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Holy, innocent, undefiled. We have a perfect high priest. Next week, we'll look at our priest, our high priest, part two, okay? But I'm telling you today, I don't know your situation, but I know you can cry out to him. You can cast your burdens on him. He cares for you. He's sympathetic. He is. God is a consuming fire. And it would be a terrifying thing to try to come to him with your own piety. Don't you come to him because you've been having enough time in the Bible lately you think you can. No. You come to him in Jesus' name. You come to him because there is one waiting to represent you. And so you come through the mediator, you come through this high priest, and you can cast everything on him, and you'll find help undergirding cables to help in time of need. And many of you are nodding because you know this, you've experienced this. And I say, this week, I'll come to a time of need, and so will you. You say, Scott, I won't come to one. I'm in one. I understand. But I'm telling you, Jesus knows. He understands. He deals gently because he's offered himself once for all, never to die again. Your sin is washed away, and one day soon he's going to whisk you into his presence and wipe away every tear. Don't we have a great Savior? Don't we have a perfect high priest? Lord, thank you. Thank you for being this perfect high priest. And Jesus, how we thank you that we can come boldly and confidently, and we can cling to you and never be disappointed. Oh, we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Jesus, Our Perfect High Priest, a message from our series in the book of Hebrews. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our special Christmas Eve candlelight services. Join us Friday, December 24th at either 3 or 5 o'clock in the evening for a great time of worship, Christmas music, our kids' choir, and a special Christmas message. It's such a wonderful time of the year in celebrating our Savior's birth, and we'd like to share it with you. If you'd like more details, just head on over to our website at swbible.org. We hope to see you there. This year, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. We're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station, and we invite you to downtownbible.org to download or listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
It can't be my sympathetic high priest. if he hadn't humbled himself to be found in appearance as a man, and he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted him. And so the Hebrew author here underlines that he was perfected, not that he was imperfect to begin with, but he was completed. He said, "It is finished. I've accomplished it." And he sat down. So as a man in his flesh, he cried out to the Lord and he offered himself up, and he is my perfect and righteous high priest.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Hebrews. Pastor Scott brings part 3 of the message titled, Jesus, Our Perfect High Priest. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.